Well, most people here, but just in case, I'll introduce myself. I'm Ron Bryce. I'm the state representative, Kansas House of Representatives, for District 11, which is most of Montgomery County. It's all of Coffeyville, the eastern half or more of Independence, Cherryville, Liberty, Deering, all the way up to Sycamore. And so the western part of Montgomery County is represented very well by my good friend Doug Blex, who you might see here in the back. He's not up here on the stage, partly because he's not running for re-election, but also because this isn't his district. And we're happy to have him. And I appreciate the...
Excuse me. Yes, sir.
Pleasure
work. All
right, it was a good arrest. No, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate everybody taking the time off on an evening like this. I'll let Senator Peck introduce himself here in a minute. But I wanted to say thank you for allowing me to be your representative in the Topeka, in the House of Representatives. I am, by profession, I'm a physician. And so I am on the three main committees right now. One is the Health Committee, of course. And so we do a lot of things there. Another one I'm on is the Taxation Committee in the House, and Senator Peck is the Vice Chairman of Taxation for the Senate. I'm also on the Federal and State Affairs Committee. And first, it may not be as plain and easy to understand what a Federal and State Affairs Committee is, but we deal with a lot of alcohol regulation, tobacco, sometimes abortion. It was Convention of States. One of the interesting things that I thought might be interesting for the audience here is we spent several days this last session on app stores. Everybody have a smartphone and you go to the app store, like Apple or Google has an app store, and you download an app. Well, there's an issue because a lot of the apps are inappropriate for children, and the app stores do not regulate that. There's a lot of sexualization. There is victimization of children. And so we had a bill that came before the House and Senate that would regulate app stores so that in Louisiana they tried this, but they tried to regulate content. And there was a freedom of speech, First Amendment problem there. So we approached it as, let's have the app stores age designate, 3 to 5 years, 5 to 7 years, et cetera. And then when you're an adult, we try to do that because children cannot by law consent to a contract or an agreement. So on those app stores, you always have to consent for an app. And so we went through the parents as the regulators, they can find the appropriate app for the appropriate age of their children. We had, the State House was crawling with attorneys and lobbyists for Apple and Google and Facebook, and we had several days prolonged hearings. I think the Senate finally did pass it. It got held up in the House, and it ended up not being passed. But that is an example of something the Federal and State Affairs Committee deals with, and I was very, very disappointed that we weren't able to regulate App Store content, because these groups, Google, Facebook, Apple, they already know everything about you. Your phone, you say something with your phone on, and all of a sudden you get Google ads for that same thing. And so they have AI, and they can tell by you texting your age. If you have all OMG, LOL, emoji, they know you're a kid. If you have correct punctuation and grammar and parentheses, I'm old, so I do that kind of thing. And so they can tell, actually estimate your age. So they could already help prevent kids from having access to inappropriate material. They could help to prevent kids from being victimized and trafficked, but they don't. And that really bothers me, that the richest people in the world do not care enough about children, and they want to make more money, and so they take advantage of children. Let me just go over, like I said, I am on the Healthcare Committee. I'll just take a few minutes and go over a few things that you might have questions about later. That'd be great. One is, everybody been to a gas station and seen Kratom? You know what it is? It's sold at gas stations. We had quite a bit of controversy this year with Health Committee about Kratom. It turns out that Kratom is an addictive substance. It's opioid. It's like an opioid, and it's unregulated. It's technically illegal, but there's no enforcement mechanism. The FDA and DEA can't get their act together. And so on a state level, we made it illegal, along with fentanyl compounds. A lot of these drug cartels and people, they'll take fentanyl or some drug and they'll change one little atom on a molecule, and it'll be a different substance technically, and they'll get around the illegalization of it. And so we had several substances that we made illegal. One thing that is very close to my heart is pregnancy resource centers. And in the state of Kansas, we do our best to provide health care and support for them. We had three main bills that passed over the governor's veto. One was a standardization of consent forms. Kansas Department of Health and Education, or KDHE, is tasked with having consent forms that are factual about fetal development and the risks of abortion and what they consider to be controversial, but from my point of view is not, but that abortion pills can be reversed. Another is making it less onerous to sue an abortion provider, because now, as it stands now, it has to go through a medical review panel. It's several years. We decreased the amount of claims that can be obtained for $5,000 maximum, plus attorney's fees, and there's no medical review panel. So it streamlined the whole process, because we were running into problems with a lot of the abortion providers were not really being truthful and honest about what they were doing as far as consent and the requirements of the law for data to the state. Another was to prevent pregnancy resource centers from being required to refer for abortions, basically, and to go against their belief system. So those are the things with the from the abortion point of view. Abortion, of course, in the state of Kansas is, for all intents and purposes, legal up until birth, because of Supreme Court ruling, and so the legislature cannot regulate abortion. We cannot limit late-term abortion. When I was first in the legislature 3 or 4 years ago, I was a little wet behind the ears. I carried a bill on the House floor that would require that when babies are born alive during abortion, that they have appropriate medical care for their age and for their medical condition. At the time, just to give you some idea of what we came up against with the abortion industry, in fact, the governor in her veto message said, this doesn't happen. Babies are not born alive after abortion. I knew they were because I had taken care of them as a medical doctor. In fact, three of the legislators in the Kansas House had taken care of babies that had been aborted and were born alive. Dr. John Epley, and then Senator Molly Bumgarner, she was an ICU, NICU nurse or worker, and she took care of an aborted baby that survived. And I had one that survived, and I took care of it in NICU. So it turns out, just after the governor said it never happens, studies came out, the biggest study ever over 20 years or so, that shows 11% of second trimester babies aborted are born alive. And so, just to give you some idea of what we are up against with the abortion industry, but because of the Supreme Court ruling, we cannot regulate abortion. And hopefully, I hope that in my lifetime, we'll be able to see that turn around to where we can do common sense things. I have several other things you might be interested in. I see some education people here. There was a bill about students walking out to protest, particularly ICE. You know, there were some, you might remember what happened with Minnesota, and there were some ICE protests, and we had students who were basically without their parents' consent having a day off from school to go protest. And we passed a law, and it was a little controversial at the time, but it requires parental consent and for schools to enforce truancy laws when students are involved with protests like that. Also in education, there was a veto of a recess requirement. We were going to require, I think it was 30 minutes recess per day, K through 12. There was also a civics exam that was going to be required, because some studies have shown that the knowledge base of civics in a lot of the students was low. That also was vetoed and not overridden. in a similar tone. There's a Charlie Kirk Day was passed, and that is a freedom of speech on our public school campuses. It's to enforce that and have a day. There was one that really generated a lot of controversy was the so-called bathroom bill. I don't know if you all heard of that, but we passed a substitute for Senate Bill 244 and overrode the governor's veto where we required that men not go into girls' bathrooms and that in public buildings the bathrooms are for the sex assigned at birth, as they say, or however you were born, that's the way you were to use the restroom in multiple person bathrooms or dressing rooms. A lot of them, like in a school, for instance, a school track meet or swim meet, they would have males dressing in the female locker room and so forth. So this hopefully has put an end to that. We overrode the governor's veto on that. There are several other things. I mean, there's a cell phone ban. I don't know if some of the educators have an opinion on that, but many of the, in Oklahoma and many places, kids at school that have a cell phone ban, and you know, the smartphones are everywhere, and it seems to be, it's been a while since I was in high school, but it seems to be that there's a lot of distraction with messaging and social media and different things. States that have passed a cell phone ban typically have seen test scores go up and behavioral problems go down. And so I think we can say that safely that happened in the state of Oklahoma. This year, the governor did sign a bell-to-bell cell phone ban. In other words, you can't use your cell phone in school until the end of the day. That's a lot of what went on from my point of view. Just to give you some idea, if we went over every single bill that we worked on this session, I calculated today it would be almost 60 hours. And I don't think the Chamber of Commerce would let us stay here that long, but I just wanted to pick out like a 1% of some of the things that I worked on. Senator Peck is on the Senate side. He's been very, very helpful for me. He's been like a mentor for me, showing me some of the ropes. He's been around. I won't say you've been around too long, but he knows the ropes, and he's been very, very helpful, as well as Representative Blacks, and I appreciate them very much. So I'll turn it over to Senator Peck, and then later, if you have questions or anything, feel free to ask. Thank you.
If anybody that's standing up needs to sit down, we still have 3-4 chairs up here, so I just want to let you know.
Thank you, Representative Rice, and to the Coffeyville Chamber for the opportunity this evening to be here to visit with you. The district I represent is Senate District 15. That's all of Montgomery County, all of Chautauqua, Elk, Labette, and Neosho counties. It's sort of a U shape right here on the bottom part of the state that borders Oklahoma with 3 counties. I thought when Chief Bromley walked in, Representative Bryce, maybe he was coming to get you, but he just kept right on walking, so he didn't. But this session, Representative Bryce mentioned I've been around a long time. Well, he's the same age I am, so he's been around just as long. I served 12 years in the House, and then I was out of the legislature for 4, and this is my 6th session in the Kansas Senate. This is an election year. I am not up for an election this year. It will be 2 years from now. The entire Kansas House is up for election. And I'm just going to mention this briefly. We do have, and I would urge you when we conclude, get acquainted. There are a couple candidates with us this evening. We've got a candidate for county commissioner with us, Chuck Volker. And then we've also got a candidate for House District 12, Marcy Levine. I may or may not pronounce that name right, because it's spelled really strange, but in any event, so get acquainted with those individuals. There will be a lot of things to vote on this year. The governor is up for election. We will, fortunately, have a new governor next January. May not be in a different party, I hope it is, but we will have a new governor. Elections have consequences. I wanted to mention that at the very outset. And the reason I say that, during the 2026 session, 35 bills were vetoed by the governor. We overrode 21 of those vetoes. She also had 41 line item vetoes of the budget. Now, honestly, some of those line item vetoes in the budget, I'm glad she did. But most of the vetoes that she did veto, I think we should have tried harder to override. We adjourned early. We left her with several bills that were totally up to her discretion. If she vetoed them, then that was it. End of story. We would not have an opportunity to override any vetoes of bills that were passed, and then we adjourned. I'm not going to hit all 21 vetoed bills, but I'm going to hit just a few of those veto overrides that we did. But first, I'm going to hit just briefly on the Kansas budget. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to do a better job in Kansas of controlling the state budget. In 2022, 5 years ago, the state budget was $8.2 billion. The next year, it was up by $500 million to $8.7 billion. The next year, it was up by $700 million to $9.4 billion. The following year, it increased by $900 million to $10.3 billion. I realize giving numbers, some people's eyes glaze over really quick, but when you see an increase of $500 million, $700 million, $900 million, then the next year $600 million, and then the following year $300 million, and you will hear that the budget that we passed during this session is below the budget that we passed for the previous fiscal year. That's accurate, but not 100% correct. When we passed the budget in March of 2025 for fiscal year 26, we passed a bill that spent $10.6 billion. Every year, the next session, we revise the previous year's budget bill. So we increase spending from March of a year ago for the current that fiscal year by $300 million. So when you hear someone say, well, we've spent less in the upcoming fiscal year than we did the previous fiscal year, that's not really accurate. When we passed the budget in March of 25, we passed a budget that was $10.6 billion. Way too big. I voted no. I always vote no to the budget, even though I serve on the Ways and Means Committee and I work to craft the budget. I'm known as Mr. No on the Budget Committee because I'm constantly voting no to increased spending. It's your tax dollars. The state doesn't earn any money. The state simply takes money from you and then spends it. If we don't control our spending, we cannot control taxes. So we've got to do a better job. But then when we passed the bill this year, we were up $100 million over last year. So when you hear from certain candidates running that we cut spending, no, that's really not quite accurate. But I'll leave that alone. I just wanted to mention to you, you can see that 5 years ago it was $8.2 billion. Now we're almost $11 billion. That kind of spending cannot continue. We've got to do a better job with the state's budget, with your tax dollars.
That's right.
Moving on from the budget, part of the veto override that Representative Bryce mentioned as it relates to the bathroom bill, the reason we had to deal with that, we had passed the Women's Bill of Rights, protecting ladies from men intruding into their private spaces, restrooms, locker rooms, etc. The courts, because in that legislation, we used the word gender as to who you are, male or female, your gender. The courts said gender and biological sex, they're two different things. That is your court in the state of Kansas. Gender and biological sex are exactly the same thing. So what they said was, because the driver's license lists your sex as either male or female, that's different from your gender. No, your gender is either male or female. So that was part of the legislation that was passed. The governor, of course, vetoed it. She's an extreme leftist, and so she vetoes anything that's moral. We also had people who were changing their gender marker on their driver's license, so we revoked or made invalid any gender marker that had been changed prior two, that is different from your birth, the assignment that God gave you at birth, that is your biological gender. The next veto, and I'll just mention a couple of them here, had to do with healthcare sharing ministries. This is something that Representative Bryce and I took the lead on. I took the lead on the Senate side, he took the lead on the House side. Healthcare sharing ministries are like health insurance, only to my way of thinking, it provides a lot more flexibility and freedom. This legislation simply said, healthcare sharing ministries and health insurance shall have the same tax treatment. That's all it said. Well, because of the fact it was healthcare sharing ministries, semi-religious, the governor vetoed it. But we overrode that legislation. We did also have legislation that would prohibit a city or county, and this is not an issue in Southeast Kansas, but particularly in Jocope, Johnson County, and in Lawrence, and some of the bigger cities, we're having a problem. Local units of government are wanting to regulate crisis pregnancy centers. Around the corner here is a crisis pregnancy center. These local units of government were wanting to tell these crisis pregnancy centers, which they are pro-life centers, helping ladies through difficult pregnancies. They wanted to regulate, say, well, you have to provide abortion information to these individuals. You have to tell them where they can obtain abortion. Excuse me, they're coming to the crisis pregnancy center, so they may not have to go down that road. But because of the fact it was pro-life, the governor vetoed it, but we were able to override that veto. And there were several other vetoes that I'll just skip over those because of time's sake and not hit everyone. Except I do have the privilege of serving as chairman of the Agriculture Natural Resources Committee. Serving as a chairman does add a lot of additional responsibility to a legislator and time to a legislator's day. I also serve, as Representative Bryce mentioned, as vice chair of the Senate Assessment and Taxation Committee. So I'm involved in every tax bill, and I'm on the conference committee for tax bills. But we spent a lot of time in tax committee on the Senate side and on the House side, trying to figure out what can we do, what should we do as regards to property taxes in the state of Kansas. This is the number one complaint that legislators receive is property taxes. We had difficulty. The House had one angle they wanted to go. The Senate had a different angle they wanted to go. But we did manage to pass some legislation, but elections have consequences. The governor vetoed the legislation, and we were unable to override the vetoes on these pieces of legislation. House Bill 2745 was the first bill that we passed. And what this would do, it would say that if local units of government want to increase spending above the rate of inflation, or 3%, whichever's less, is subject to protest petition. Seemed pretty straightforward to me. It didn't say they couldn't increase spending, it just said they can't. There's a cap on their increases. The protest petition was, I thought, reasonable, 10% of the registered voters on January the 1st of that year. Governor vetoed that legislation, couldn't override it. Then there was a second attempt, very similar, only it broadened. To me, too broad, and I voted no. And that was House Bill 2043. Same restrictions on local units of government, except it excluded schools. Schools are some of the largest taxers in each county, in each district. Look at your tax bill, and you will see that some of the largest taxes that you pay go to schools. So they exempted schools. I thought, well, that's not fair to other units of government to exempt schools, but make cities, counties, community colleges stay within a certain growth rate. So that was one thing that was a change, and that was done to try to get additional votes. It lost some, mine for one. But it still had the CPIU, rate of inflation Midwest, or 3%, whichever was higher. But it also excluded several things, which really, really watered it down. So local units of government had a lot of, if there were no fund warrants, for example, that existed prior to July 1, 2026, if there were tax abatements that were coming off of the abatement to where they would start paying taxes, that didn't count against them. Well, from my perspective, that tax abatement, all the rest of us were paying the property taxes that entity was not paying. So when they came on, that should help all of us pay less. But 2043 was passed by the legislature. Again, I voted no. They did also reduce the threshold for the petition process to where it was 10% of the voters who voted in the last Secretary of State election, which is significantly less than 10% of all registered voters. There was a lot of hand-wringing about that and complaints, but that part didn't really matter to me too much. We also passed on the Senate side a proposed constitutional amendment, 1616. What 1616 would do, simply my vote said, I'm going to let you vote should the Kansas Constitution be amended to cap the assessed valuation, not the appraised, not appraised. Your appraisal can go wherever. But the assessment would only increase by 3% or an amount established by the legislature, which meant it could have been less. That passed the Senate, did not pass the House. So we kept working to try to find where can we get this passed both chambers. We were at 3%, we tried 4%, that didn't work. We got clear up to 9% that the assessed valuation could not increase more than 9%. And we still couldn't get that passed. So the frustration for me is the legislature was not going to amend the Kansas Constitution. We do not have the authority to amend the Kansas Constitution, but you do as voters. And that's all we were saying was, let's let the voters vote. And it didn't happen. There were some tax bills that passed. There's a tax credit for child care for businesses. Currently, if they provide child care or pay for child care, it's somewhat of a complex formula on their tax relief or their tax break. So we made it simpler and increased it up to $100,000 for a business, an industry to provide child care. It also provides and creates an income tax credit for retailers who sell higher blends of ethanol, which is really good for our agriculture industry, particularly out west, folks. We're going to have to make some changes because our water situation is getting a little bit serious. Out west, a lot of corn is grown. Corn is a plant that consumes a lot of water. Well, if we would grow grain sorghum, you can make ethanol out of grain sorghum, and it consumes...
Sibling, we have two chairs over on this side.
Oh, there's somebody behind me? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought he was saying you got 2 minutes. I did not know. Okay, thank you. But yes, there are more chairs back in front of us rather than looking at the back side of us. But that legislation also allowed for a $250 tax credit for purchase of lockable gun storage and ammunition storage, and it repealed some unused tax credits that we have. I'm going to try to see if I can narrow this down, and I'm going to skip over a whole lot of things because, like Ron said, we could be here, did you say 60 hours? Yeah. Good grief, that's about it. That's worth the work for me. Just briefly, we did pass legislation to reinstate the discounted hunting and fishing license for seniors. We had that in the past, and then it expired. We reinstated that and took the sunset off of it, so that will go on indefinitely. We also are allowing children ages 5 and under for you to purchase a lifetime hunting and fishing license in Kansas. That means their entire life, no matter where they move, they can come back to Kansas, and they are considered a Kansas resident for hunting and fishing purposes. Age 5 and under is $300. Age 6 to 15 is $400. We passed legislation. This one really bugs me. Not an issue in Coffeyville, not an issue in Montgomery County. Probably, I hope not, but it allows for around-the-clock alcohol sales during the World Cup. So that means from, I say around-the-clock, there's 1 hour from 5 a.m. till 6 a.m. you cannot sell alcohol. A city or county must opt into this provision, but I'm not in favor of increasing the availability. If you have a problem with alcohol or you need alcohol, there's plenty of hours in the day for you to get alcohol without adding those additional days. We also passed legislation that will increase your vehicle registration. I voted no. I opposed it. I thought this is the wrong thing. I've been working to reduce the cost of registering your vehicle, but we passed legislation, Senate Bill 325, that allows the county to increase from $5 administrative fee up to $10 administrative fee. That's going to be on the local counties. I'm going to hit just a couple of things going forward because Candy mentioned going forward. We do have a water funding task force that is meeting around the state to try to determine what should be the state's water plan going forward and how should we fund it. We've got a K-12 funding formula task force. They are working. They're meeting next week for a couple of days. They have met regularly. They're trying to determine what should we do regarding education funding. The Kelly experiment of just throwing money at education has failed. It has failed. Kelly has been a pushed to continue to increase and increase and increase education funding, and we want to properly fund education. It's a priority. But money's not the answer. Money's not the solution. Our test scores are going down and funding's going up. So we've got an education funding task force trying to figure out what should we do as it relates to education funding. There was talk about a special session. I don't think that's going to happen. We had three senators that wanted to have a special session for property tax relief. Eliminate the 20 mills that go to schools and then backfill it by increasing sales tax. I don't think that's going to happen at all. One thing I do want to spend just a little bit of time on, because this is vital for you to understand, because there will be millions, hundreds of millions of dollars come into Kansas with misinformation, false information to get you to vote no to a proposed constitutional amendment to allow you to elect our Supreme Court justices. Currently, you, unless you are a licensed attorney, you have no say in who becomes a Supreme Court justice. Several states elect their Supreme Court justices. We can't, because our Constitution was amended in 1958, because there was some misconduct among leaders. We've got a strange system. We've got a 9-member commission made up of 5 lawyers and 5 non-lawyers. So it's controlled, majority lawyers. 5 lawyers, 4 non-lawyers. And who elects those 5 lawyers? Lawyers. And so they vote, and then that 9-member commission, they will choose 3 lawyers of their buddies, of their friends, purely political, not merit-based at all. You will hear, oh, this is merit-based, what we have. No, it's not. Absolutely not. But that 9-member will put 3 members to the governor. The governor has one choice. Appoint one of those 3 lawyers that the other lawyers propose that you put up. If the governor says, well, I don't think any of them are qualified, or I don't ideologically agree with any of them, the governor cannot appoint any of those 3. However, the state Supreme Court Chief Justice then will appoint one of those 3. So it's a system where lawyers appoint lawyers to be judges who they will be arguing before. I don't like it. I never have liked it. So this will be an opportunity, and if the citizens of Kansas vote down this amendment, they vote down this amendment. But I am pushing for a strong yes vote to amend the Kansas Constitution to allow you to have a say in who sits on the state Supreme Court. Why does this matter? The Kansas Supreme Court has been overturned percentage-wise by the United States Supreme Court more than any other court. The Kansas Supreme Court, for example, one of the worst cases, and the U.S. Supreme Court really hammered them down. The Kansas Supreme Court said that the Carr brothers, 2 men in Wichita, who brutalized for hours, unspeakable acts that I will not even tell you what it is, and I would urge you, don't do a search, because it was brutal what they did. But your Supreme Court said, oh, we've got to vacate their conviction because you tried these brothers together. They committed the crimes together. You could not determine and ascertain which Carr brother committed which crime, so they were tried together. The state Supreme Court said, we're going to throw out their conviction. A couple things about that. One, if that had been allowed to stand, you would have paid to represent the Carr brothers, and that would have cost you over $1 million. How do I know that? I was chairman of the budget committee for the Board of Indigent Defense Services, and the director came to me and said, Mr. Chairman, we really hope that this U.S. Supreme Court overturns the Kansas Supreme Court, because this is going to cost us $1 million, and you're going to need to appropriate $1 million to retry these murderers and they just brutalized 5 people. But the U.S. Supreme Court overturned, and Justice Antonin Scalia, he wrote the majority opinion about overturning this, and he really beat down the Kansas Supreme Court. But there's been several other cases that the Kansas Supreme Court has overturned convictions. The U.S. Supreme Court reinstated those convictions, thanks in large part to our former Attorney General, Derek Schmidt, our congressman now. So in August, during the primary, you will have an opportunity to determine should you help to determine who is on the Kansas Supreme Court, because today you have zero voice in who is put on the court. Yes, there is a retention election, but no one ever votes to be non-retained. Currently, we've got Governor Sebelius. She had four appointments in her time. Two of the current justices are from Sebelius. Sam Brownback had one appointment in his 7 years. Don't tell me it's not political, because as soon as Sam Brownback was out of office, three justices resigned so Governor Kelly could reappoint who would take their place. We have, right now, did you know we have a vacancy on the state Supreme Court? Did you know last year we had a vacancy on the state Supreme Court? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But the reason I mention that is our court is handing out rulings that do not align with Kansas values. I could go on and on. Last thing I'll say on that, the ACLU thinks we should leave things as is. I think that says a lot. ACLU likes things the way they are.
Must be wrong.
I'm pretty much going to say, well, then we need to make a change. But again, I appreciate the opportunity. Representative Bryce and I will try to answer questions on any topic. Actually, Representative Bryce is going to answer the question. I'm just going to sit here and look smart. That's going to be a challenge for me. But we do, there were so many pieces of legislation, a lot of good things. I gave the session grade a C minus. I gave it a C minus because we left town by handing some things to the governor and didn't have an opportunity to come back to override the vetoes. And we spent way too much. And we should have overridden more of her vetoes. So a C minus is at least a passing grade, but I prefer to give us an A, but I just can't. So Will, Candy, I don't know if you want to just open it up for questions or how you want to do this, but the floor will be yours, and Representative Bryce, the first question will be yours. I don't know.